For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
I'm wondering if there was that communication there surrounding the Hunter Biden laptop story.
So I can't speak to decisions made by the campaign from here. That is not, it is a political campaign, so I can't speak from that from here to that from here. I'm covered by the Hatch Act, and so I'm just not going to comment on the question that you're asking me.
Yeah, she wouldn't comment one way or the other. Let me tell you about that. Hatch Act or notwithstanding. Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Hartman.
I stopped them before.
Exactly. And you can tell, Chris, that that line of questioning makes them very nervous.
And
now
it should.
Now that Elon Musk is dumping all that. You should always presume the impossible, right? But they never thought that Twitter would be in the hands of anybody other than leftist progressives.
And what do you think of Jack Dorsey to say a statement today? He says, release everything without filter, Elon.
You know, I've always wondered where Dorsey came down on things, and I don't know that he was as much of a leftist as what some of us thought. He might be a little more libertarian leaning.
I think he feels like he got burned a little bit.
I think he does.
And I know if I was him, I'd be like, dude, I'm worth $10 billion. I don't care what you find. Care less.
Yeah. And I think Dorsey feels free now that he's out. Yeah. You know, I mean, man, some of those hearings he appeared in front of, I mean, you wouldn't know the guy was worth billions of dollars. He looked like he crawled out from underneath a rock.
Yeah, he's keeping it real.
He is. Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, 5:08 in the p.m. here at 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. I've been forgetting this all show. There was a little alert that came out from National Review. You can almost see the smile. You can almost see the smile on their faces and the song in their heart.
My wife sent me this.
AOC is under investigation by the House Ethics Committee.
I didn't read the
date. Well, they will not say.
Okay.
But Chris, I was looking through the whole story. Mm-hmm. I'm like, for what? And remember, folks, Democrats are still in charge of the mm-hmm. House. And so this is her team that is taking this investigation under their wing. And of course, with an ethics committee, you should not disclose, and they haven't properly. But somebody did some research and found out that the American Accountability Foundation, who I've never heard of, I don't know if they're a right-leaning or a left-leaning watchdog. They previously requested that the Congressional Ethics Office open an investigation because of her little trip to the Met Gala in her tax the rich dress. Remember all that prancing and frolicking around?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Guess how much, guys? Take a wild guess of the range in prices for a ticket to the Upper East Side to go to the Met Gala.
I think if I remember correctly, it was like $20,000, $25,000 or something.
That was my guess, $25,000.
That would be the cheap seats.
Wow.
$35,000 to $50,000 to attend the Met Gala and to be with the hoi polloi on the Upper East Side.
Could you imagine having that type of money, Rick? Like, dear, just write a check for $50,000. Let's go to the Met dinner tonight.
Yes. So what they say is, I think there are provisions where congressmen and women can go to events like that, but I think they have to get what's an exemption, because it says the allegation is that she attended the event without having a permissible exemption to allow the acceptance of such a lavish gift.
You know what I thought it was, and maybe I'm incorrect in my thinking, but I remember a few years ago when she first came on the scene, she was raising all this money and she had a boyfriend that was an advisor or something on her campaign, and he made a whole bunch of money as the advisor, and people were asking ethical questions about that. I thought maybe that had finally
That could be it, because the article, Chris, is just speculating, because there was a prior complaint filed. So that could be it too. Maybe it could be multiple things, I guess. So and Stell pointed out, hasn't AOC been really quiet lately?
It seems like it, doesn't
she? Kind of has been. So maybe she's been dealing with all these issues. You know, I mean, you know, playing the big leagues, deal with big league problems, right? That's definitely what you have to deal with at that level. Oh, hey, we got to announce.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The next winner of the St. Louis Conservative Christmas Contest, which you can enter every single day as many times as you want at newstalkstl.com, is Paul Gada, G-A-D-A, G-A-D-A. Paul Gada, maybe it's Gada, maybe it's Gada. You say tomato. Paul Gada wins the Nutcracker tickets, a pair of Nutcracker tickets. Congratulations to Paul.
Yeah.
We will be in contact with you. You don't have to do anything. We will be in contact with you. We wanted to make that announcement, though, in case you were listening, and we hope you are. Folks, if you want to win prizes for our Newstalk STL St. Louis Conservative Christmas, all you got to do is go to newstalkstl.com and register there, and you'll be entered to win. Just click on the big Santa Vic. Can't miss Santa Vic, can you?
That's nope, for sure. Even if you try, you can't miss him.
There you go, Vic. You can complain at Stell for that one. All right, St. Louis Conservative Christmas. And I was also reminded because Katie Fitzpatrick, who is our full-time producer here, she is back working from home. She sent out the newsletter today. So if you folks want to get our newsletter every week, you can go to newstalkstl.com and subscribe for that as well.
And I want to thank Katie because one of the articles was an article I wrote for redstate.com talking about how GOP could help rein in inflation by reining in these credit card swipe fees. The average American is spending $1,000 on credit card swipe fees, and it really hurts these small convenience stores and businesses. So I applaud you to go to our newsletter and read the other articles that are on the newsletter as well. Well, comes out every Wednesday.
Chris has got the top headline story there. There's also a story about the White House's take on a 2023 St. Louis Conservative Christmas is featured, and the video of the week with Santa Vic. So you guys got to go. Oh, and not last but not least, more to the point, make the season bright.
And I had to pay Katie to get that top spot there.
Oh, you did. Yeah. You did. She charges high dollar.
She does.
And there is a great cartoon by our official Newstalk STL cartoonist, Todd Showalter, at the bottom, and it's a good one indeed regarding the whole defund the police movement. All right, there you go. I will stumble through a speaker stump speech. How about we do that?
Listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
So that's another reason we need communism.
It's time for the Speaker's Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
And yes, folks, in case you're just tuning in right now, yeah, I'm a little hoarse today. I had a head cold, a little minor, I didn't think it was any big deal. I had this little head cold and it went away. All of a sudden, like, I lose my voice. And so, thanks to all the well wishes, I have a lot of people saying, why are you there today? Well, you know, I thought I could get through the show. I'll get through this one, and then I'm going to take tomorrow off, give the pipes a rest, and hopefully be back Friday. Big shout out to my mother, who said, yes, Tim, your voice doesn't sound very good today. Are you drinking lots of hot tea with lemon? Yes, Mom, I am. I actually am. I'm guzzling down as much as is humanly possible. So, all right, in the meantime, let's talk about the fact that, thank you to Elon Musk and Twitter, we now know the collusion delusion is completely and utterly, it has completely and utterly fallen apart. What am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about the Russian collusion hoax, because now we have yet another tie back to that from years ago because of what Elon Musk just had published in the Twitter files. Isn't it amazing, folks, how the same people and the same names keep popping up from the deep state swamp? Look, Donald Trump, I know a lot of folks have very strong opinions about Donald Trump. I personally think that he was the right guy at the right time because he really exposed so much of what is wrong in government. You know, government should be a place that people go to be citizen legislators, to pass good policy, to do good things for the nation. You know, stay for a few years, stay for a lot of years, but don't stay forever, and don't use it to simply enrich yourself at the taxpayer's behest. Donald Trump showed us that, and there's been an entire industry, there's been an entire bureaucracy, there's an entire fourth branch of government that has developed over the last 50, 60, 70 years that the founders never envisioned, and a lot of those people, they go to D.C., and they never leave. And they end up feeling that they're running the place. They're never elected. Some of them are hardly ever even appointed. They may be just hired by some chain of giant command. And one of those is James Baker. Who is James Baker? Well, not the old Secretary of State James Baker. This guy, this Jim Baker, when I tell you this, you may have heard this already, you may not have, but it might completely and utterly blow you away. Jim Baker was one of the FBI attorneys who was directly involved with and assigned to investigate Donald Trump for the Russian collusion hoax. So after he did that fake, phony, faux deal for about 4+ years, wasted tons of taxpayer money and time with zero results to show for it, guess where he went? He went to Twitter. Yes, Jim Baker then became basically one of the upper-level general counsels for Twitter. Miranda Devine, who is just prophetic in her writing, wrote a article that I believe I referenced yesterday or the day before. She wrote it on December the 3rd. And the title of this article, before the whole Jim Baker fiasco was known, which came out today, which was the fact that Jim Baker was exited. I like how Elon Musk used that word. Elon Musk said that Jim Baker has been exited from Twitter, kind of like how the Clintons, you know, the suicide people. What's missing from the Twitter files? The truth about the FBI. Miranda Devine wrote several days ago, hey, this stuff that Matt Taibbi is writing about the collusion between the Biden campaign and Twitter is all wonderful and well and good, but there's something missing here. What about all of the reporting that I've been doing and all the investigation that I've been conducting over the last 2 years that show that not only was a campaign involved, but that the government itself was involved in the censorship and suppression of a story that likely would have absolutely influenced a presidential election? How much? We will never know. But if you believe the polling, a lot of it was done about this fact. 1 in 6 Americans said that if they had known about the Hunter Biden laptop story, they would not have voted for Joe Biden. Would they have voted for Donald Trump? We don't know. Would the election have been then swung in Trump's favor more convincingly? We don't know. We will never know. But what we do know is that that story was important enough to the Biden campaign and to various actors within the FBI that they did everything they possibly could to censor and suppress it. If the story was irrelevant, if the story was untrue, if the story was not important, then why did they go to unbelievable bounds and measures to remove information about that story from every possible social media platform they could? So Miranda Devine asked the question on December 3rd, 4 days ago, what about the FBI angle? Well, the other shoe dropped yesterday when Jim Baker was exited from Twitter and Elon Musk said, guess what? Jim Baker was still here when we issued that first batch of emails, the first batch of screenshots and Twitter information, and he probably had scrubbed a lot of the FBI's involvement. You know, as we've talked about and as Chris has pointed out, there are Pulitzer Prizes and award-winning news broadcasts and all kinds of things just waiting for anybody in the media to pick up this story and run with it. I think maybe Miranda Devine needs to get that first Pulitzer Prize, but it seems like the rest of the media world is completely acting like the story doesn't exist, it doesn't matter, and they definitely wish it would all just go away. And that's the Speaker Stump Speech for today.
You know, the situation with Jim Baker.
Jim Baker.
The situation that scares me the most about that, for years, we have seen the revolving door between media and government. The first person that I ever known of that, and I don't know if you guys remember, Pierre Salinger, the old ABC correspondent.
Yes, indeed.
I had no idea he was the press secretary for JFK.
Yes.
That was like the beginning of it. George Stephanopoulos, we know he was in the Clinton administration. Now he's the Good Morning America person. But now we're starting to see this revolving door between government and big tech. And that's even scarier because that gives the Democrats even more tentacles to be able to shape our opinion through big tech, through government, the revolving door between them. It's frightening. And you know that Twitter is not the only people that are doing this. Facebook, Google, if we could get their internal records, it would probably make what happened here look like a Sunday school picnic. But I would like to know how many other high-level government officials are working in big tech.
Yeah, Chris, the revolving door is really terrifying. And it basically, we're looking at a fourth estate, right?
Yeah, you are, literally.
And like we said the other day, we're all going to have to get some new conspiracy theories because all of our conspiracy theories are coming true.
Coming true, it is. And it's so, you know, I love the United States of America. We're the greatest country in the world. We're the greatest form of government. But I've said this many times, our government is corrupt. And it's not just saying something, I hate the government or anything. The government is corrupt. And what happened to Donald Trump during his 4 years revealed it. And it's there in black and white. They are no longer hiding in plain sight. It was revealed. There is a deep state.
Yeah. Yeah. And with them working against, doesn't it make you wonder, do elected officials really have any power at all?
No, the bureaucrats. Yeah. And, you know, you always hear this, but you're like, oh, whatever, you know, our elected officials are really, really running the government. Well, this Trump situation shows that it's the bureaucrats that are really running the government because they're going to be there long past the president, the senators, the House of Representatives. That those people are going to be there really making the rules. And we've talked about with our legal eagle. Now the Congress has abdicated so much of its power to the agencies where you have the EPA and all these agencies making rules without our lawmakers making the rule, giving the bureaucrats even more power.
Yeah, the FBI absolutely did not want the Hunter Biden laptop story to be revealed before the election. And that's pretty scary.
And then the next question you ask is why? You're supposed to be a nonpartisan. You just want the facts. You just want what's right. Why were they so on a mission to hide the facts from the American people? What interest did they have in this?
And they had that laptop for a year. So you knew that they knew what was on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Corrupt.
All right, my man, let's get to a break. We've got AJ Mull standing by. We're going to bring in the general manager and partner of the legendary Cone's Kosher Meat and Deli in Creve Coeur. Talk to him about food stuff and more when we come back on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show, 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on NewstalkSTL.com. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on NewstalkSTL.com.
And welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show here at 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. It is 5:28 in the p.m. Of course, it's pitch black outside because it's December and we're heading towards the holiday season. We've got a guy who we're going to talk to next about one of the favorite things we do around this time of the year, and that's eat lots of food. Yes. So, Chris, we've got AJ Mull in the studio. How do we get AJ here today? Well, we both know him, but how do we get him here today?
Well, I tell you, I talked about it. I went to Cone's Kosher Deli last Saturday. Eben Thampy, who is an old friend of ours of the show, we've had him on many times, he was talking about on Facebook he was coming to town because he wanted a killer pastrami sandwich, which Cone's is known for. And I went in and got a pastrami sandwich on Saturday and a brisket sandwich, and oh my God, I fell in love. And I was like, you know what, we need to have AJ on. Other people can know about the deli, and he's a big listener of the show and of the station, so thought we'd have him in.
Absolutely. AJ, good afternoon. Welcome to the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said in the hallway, I said we're going to talk pastrami and not politics.
Exactly.
But I can tell you know, I've only been there a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. We've had Austin Peterson's wife in. We've had Ben Keithley, District 101.
I saw that.
We have, Ben Brown, his mother came in, Mary Brown.
So nice.
It's very exciting to see all these people that I know.
So you're going to be like the political spot that political people are going to go
to. Yeah, I mean, Governor Greitens came back, I think, in 2017. He was in Cones, so.
Excellent. So let's talk about this new venture of yours. I've read a little bit on your Facebook page about it, that this was the absolute last thing you ever thought would happen to you. But give us the story of how you became the general manager and partner of this St. Louis institution.
Yeah, so Cone's Kosher has been in business since 1963. Mm-hmm. It was founded by Holocaust survivors. And the son is Lenny Cone, has been running it. Well, he's been working there since he could stand on a milk crate.
Right.
So he's 64 years old. It's time for him to retire. Nobody's crazy enough to do this. I mean, it's a full retail grocery store. It's a butcher. It's a bakery, a caterer, a restaurant. So you have to have some kind of background to do that. And I don't know that I'm the top-notch best guy, but I happen to be, I worked at Schnucks for 15 years, and I worked 15 years in culinary. I was a chef.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still learning a lot, but somebody had to do it.
I just pulled up the website here, coneskosher.com, and I immediately became hungry, AJ, and I guess that's the whole point. I mean, this is a full service deli, right? Tell us about some of the things, some of the specialties, and maybe some of the specials you're offering this month as we head into Hanukkah and Christmas.
Well, for Hanukkah, obviously, we're doing latkes, potato pancakes. Yeah. We're going to do a lot of donuts. The head baker probably just said, why did you say that? Because he could barely keep up. And then our tagline, you know, the marketing is killer pastrami.
Yes, and it is.
But beyond the pastrami that we keep promoting, I brought you guys in some upside down cupcakes. Mm-hmm. So that's my wife's absolute favorite. And I wanted you guys to try because we do have a full service bakery. We bake our own breads in house.
AJ, tell us about what exactly does kosher mean when in preparing the food.
The literal definition of kosher is anything that's fit or proper for a Jewish person, and it goes beyond just food. The way we dress, the way we have our homes. So, but everybody relates kosher to food. So when it comes to beef, it has to be slaughtered in a certain way. The animal needs to be inspected so there's no defects. And then it's salted, it's soaked, it's a whole process, and it's labor intensive, and that's why kosher meat costs a little bit more.
Right.
There's a rabbinical standard, correct?
Is
that how you would refer to it?
Right. So there's, I mean, I can say these words and nobody's going to know. There's something called shechita, which is they slaughter the animal. There's a rabbi who oversees things. Mm. We have a full-time mashgiach who is not a rabbi, but he's been trained by rabbis to make sure everything stays kosher. He locks up our meat cases at the end of the day. So that's kind of what it entails. Yes.
And, you know, people would think, okay, this is a kosher deli. Most of the people that eat there, get food there, are Jewish people. That's not the case.
No, it's definitely not the case. Our lunch crowd is very diverse. Yeah, we have Jews that come in, of course, but it's a lunch place, and our pricing is pretty darn cheap, I think. You can get a pastrami sandwich for $8.99. You tell me what you're going to pay at Subway.
You know, I actually thought about that because when I went in Saturday, I was shocked that the prices were like $8.99, $9.99 for a sandwich. And I thought about, you know, if I go to McDonald's and get a quarter pounder meal and a drink, that's like $12. With your sandwich, I literally got about 2 inches worth of meat. I got a drink, all of that way more or less than it would be. And, you know, it's probably a little healthier as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, we make everything in-house. Mm-hmm. We get the meat shipped fresh. It's not frozen. We pickle our own meats. Mm-hmm. And within a couple days, it's roasted off and we're slicing.
Great bread.
Yeah,
have the wonderful bread.
The rye, it's the recipe comes from Protzels. There was a Jewish bakery in town.
I've heard of them, yeah.
They went out of business. We took all their equipment, including their slicer, and there's a form press from like 1904. I'll have to show you the background. Okay. It's pretty cool stuff.
AJ, I think a lot of people on the coast think of the entirety of the land between the Hudson and L.A. as just flyover country, and we're all just a bunch of old white cowboys here, you know. But people don't realize, you know, and until you actually visit a place like St. Louis, this is a diverse community, you know, and originally settled by the French, the Italians, and the Germans. Mm-hmm. But there is a pretty vibrant Jewish community here in St. Louis too, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't have the numbers. I can misquote the numbers. I think it's 60,000 people. I know there's 300 Orthodox families in U-City and 100 Orthodox families in Chesterfield. And then, I mean, I'm visibly Jewish right now. I have a yarmulke on, but you couldn't even tell. Yeah. We're a diverse people, too.
I live in U-City, and there are two temples that are in my neighborhood. So on Fridays and Saturdays or on Jewish holidays, I do see the families walking. I want to ask this about, you know, the Friday, you can't use the automobiles. Are there exceptions? Because sometimes I see, like, an old lady, and she's walking, and I'm like, oh, man, I wish she could.
Yeah, no, there's, you know, different denominations, and some people do drive to synagogue. I don't anymore. I used to.
Sure.
But it's just the coolest thing. turn off the car. I turn that cell phone off.
Right.
Because otherwise I'd be sitting on social media.
Right.
And I just try to spend time with my family.
Yeah.
It's the best thing ever.
AJ, would you explain, I spent 9 years in New York, and I was in New York, you know. I had a diverse group of friends from all over the country, and I had quite a few Jewish American friends. I even had a friend who was a dual citizen with the country of Israel, and he had actually served in the Israeli Defense Forces. He had dual citizenship. He had a fascinating story. So I learned a lot about the traditions and the different holidays. Would you explain a little bit to all of our Christian brothers and sisters, Hanukkah? What is the celebration of Hanukkah?
I think
Adam Sandler made it very famous with the Hanukkah song.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, people have a really big, huge misconception.
Yes.
So Hanukkah
is not Jewish Christmas.
It is not Jewish Christmas. It's a very, very minor festival on the calendar.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, very minor. Our big holidays are Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
In the fall, right? In September?
Yeah. And then we follow this lunar cycle. So ask me when Hanukkah begins. I don't even know. I know that Christmas Eve is the 24th.
Right, right.
But I have no idea.
So, you know, as we've been saying, you are the new general manager and partner. Cullen's Kosher Deli has been around since 1960, 60 years. You're a younger guy. I think you're the youngest guy here in the studio. So what plans do you have for the deli to update it some?
Yeah, so we're going to try just to stay the same for 6 months because there's a lot of things I have to figure out. There's transitional things. But looking in the future, right now they close at 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. My wife works. Your wife works. Sure. Tim, your wife works. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So can any of your wives go shop? Can you go shop?
Not before 4 o'clock.
We would like to at least stay open till 7. We would like to possibly explore a sushi bar.
You
can do kosher sushi.
Okay.
Maybe do some pizza service, a restaurant night. Mm. We want to make it a center, you know, just beyond the deli restaurant. Sure.
Any plans for expansion? I know 6 months you want to get everything, but are you looking and maybe putting, because there's not a lot of kosher delis left in St. Louis,
right? I mean, maybe my business partners have big aspirations and they want to find another manager for Cones too, but it won't be me.
Right.
I won't be the district manager of the chain of Cones in St. Louis.
So AJ, if folks have never been to Cone's Kosher Deli, sounds like they need to go because of this, the desserts that you brought in and the stuff that I'm looking at on the website. If someone's going to go for a lunch, you know, it sounds like they need to order the pastrami sandwich. But what else? If people have never been to Cone's Kosher Deli before, what few things? What do they need to order the first time they're there?
So what you need to do is when you walk in, it's 10405 Old Olive Street Road. Got my cheap plug in.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
You need to tell them, hi, this is the first time I've ever been here, and they're just going to start feeding you.
Okay.
They're good, and if they don't, say, AJ said I get at least a sample of pastrami. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, after that, I mean, the sky's the limit. We're more than just pastrami sandwiches. Really explore the menu. Matzo ball soup, of course, but there's also buffalo chicken wraps. There's Asian Caesar salad.
So how'd you guys get known for the killer pastrami? How did that become kind of your signature sandwich?
It's not me. It's all the Cone family. I mean, this is their marketing, and we are not changing anything.
There you go.
People love it.
Excellent.
And then, you know, we got over at the ballpark during the Cardinals baseball season. We have a hot dog stand. So even if you don't live around Creve Coeur and you get down to the stadium, I think we're about maybe the same. I don't know if we're cheaper, but it's a kosher hot dog. It's the best in the world. You got to get one.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I was a guy, single guy, had my apartment, and I'm very particular about hot dogs because you hear what's in them and all that. I used to buy the Hebrew National ballpark because I know these are clean.
Yeah, I mean, Hebrew National isn't a real high standard that really religious Jews would buy. It's very, it's marketed everywhere, though.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, we only use the front half of the cow. So that's their marketing, Hebrew National. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
So that's comedy.
The front half, and it's all beef, and you know that it's from a healthy animal.
Excellent. So give the folks the address again, the website. You also, if people want to order meat They can have it shipped to them. You do that as well?
Yeah, on our website, we ship nationwide just about every day, dry ice. The address again is 10405 Old Olive Street Road. And Tim's got the website pulled up.
Coneskosher.com.
Thank you.
And AJ, do you guys do holiday platters and you can put together catering and things
absolutely.
Like that?
Absolutely. Like every day there's catering platters going out. This Sunday I will be out in the valley. I can't remember what the new place is called, but I'll be doing a gala, so I'll be doing catering out there everywhere.
Can you tell us what is, I'm looking at your odds and ends menu, what is shawarma and what are burekas?
Yeah, so those are Israeli items. Shawarma is usually done on a rotisserie with Israeli spices and then sliced thin. Baraka is, it's basically a potato knish. Potato knish is Eastern European, and it's maybe in a more of a dough, and a baraka is in a puff pastry.
Ooh, sounds delicious.
So, yeah, we have international stuff, too.
That's very cool. Good. AJ, best of luck to you and to Cone's Kosher Deli. I know you guys will be there another 60 years. I'm excited that you have this great opportunity. We've been Facebook friends for a while, and I've see that you really, really enjoy cooking. So I'm sure this is an absolute dream come true for you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You know, AJ, I'm really thrilled for you as a Greek kid who grew up in Chicago. And Manny's Deli on the near south side there has a similar type of connection to the Chicago area, like you guys do here. So when I came here in the early 70s and got to know everything about Cone's and visiting your place, it reminded me so much of Manny's. And Manny's is such a hangout for folks up there. And it's great to see that you've been able to continue the tradition here. And we wish you all the best because it's a real blessing to the community to have you guys continue on with your traditions.
Thank you.
AJ, give that address one more time.
10405. I hope I got this right.
Just go to the web. Tim, what's the website?
Cone's Kosher.
There you go. Coneskosher.com.
Cone with a K. K-O-H-N. Coneskosher.com.
That's right.
Thanks, AJ.
AJ, thanks for everything. Mm-hmm. And thanks for bringing in the fine desserts, too. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you. All right, we're going to get to a break. We got one more segment this hour. Christelle and I will be back right after this on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, 101.9-94.1. This is News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
And today, TSMC has announced a second major investment. It will construct a second fab here in Phoenix to build chips, the three nano chips. And you know what I'm saying.
No.
No, we actually don't, Joe.
We really don't. He doesn't know, Chris. We don't know. This is the puppet presidency. Joe Biden is not running the country, which is maybe terrifying, maybe not. I don't know.
You know, if Saturday Night Live was a real outfit and wanted to be fair, Saturday Night Live should be the highest rated program every week because they have so much material to work from.
You would think so. You would think it would be really easy, right? But they
it writes itself, man.
Instead, they just ignore all of it. I mean, they got just like everybody else. Saturday Night Live thought, like all of us, that the Republicans were going to have a really good night. Mm-hmm. And so they actually made fun of some Democrats. I didn't watch it. I saw the replays. They made fun of some Democrats like the week or two before. Mm-hmm. And it was funny. I saw the clips and it was funny because there's a lot of good material there. A lot of Republicans do stupid things. A lot of Democrats do stupid things. But when your whole comedy routine is based on trashing Donald Trump, and that's it, that's all you ever do, it just becomes tedious.
Yeah, and that's why the late night TV ratings are in the tank, because all of the late night shows, that's all they do. That's their shtick, and that's why Gutfeld is doing so well. People are tired of that. You know, I wish late night TV was like it was in the 70s and 80s when they remembered that, you know, half your audience is probably Democrat and half of them are probably Republican, so try not to offend them or offend them both equally. Now they just don't care. They assume that everybody in the country thinks just like they do and they can insult you without any repercussions.
Yeah, and, you know, here's my old man's disease, I guess. But I remember when I was a kid watching Johnny Carson. at my grandparents' place on Friday and Saturday nights when I'd spend the weekends with my grandma and Grandpa Tuno. We'd watch a lot of Johnny Carson, and Johnny Carson was an equal opportunity offender. And that's why, and he was clean, and that's why he was funny. You know, you always knew you were going to laugh when you were watching Johnny and Goofy Ed McMahon.
I don't see them much anymore, but I used to see all the time on Facebook where they would put clips from Johnny Carson's show. He'd have a special guest, Burt Reynolds or somebody, or they'd play old clips from it. I used to love that. And I used to love when they used to show clips on Facebook from, God, the Carol Burnett show. And it's like, why can't we just have good, clean humor like that? I mean, Carol Burnett's show was hilarious.
Dick Van Dyke.
And there was no, there was no, you know, the only thing that I had, did you ever watch the Carol Burnett show?
I did.
Did you watch Carol Burnett show? I liked the Carol Burnett show all the way to the end until they did the musical crap. Mm. Remember that? They'd always have a musical number with the dancing and all that. I was like, this is worthless. Yeah.
Click.
Keep the comedy. I hated that.
Carol Lawrence would show up.
Yes. And, yeah. It's like, why are you doing this dancing musical stuff? Nobody, that's not comedy.
Yeah, I know. It's like, okay, do we have to do a musical review at the end of every show?
Every show.
There was I think I gave Stell this quote the other day. It was on one of the emails I got, and it was a Johnny Carson quote, and it was something along the lines of, you know when four New Yorkers get into a cab together and they're not arguing that a bank robbery just happened.
Exactly.
That's Johnny Carson, man, and that stuff's funny. It's timeless, you know? It really is, because he would talk about New York and people and interactions, and he'd have the politicians on, and you know, I thought for a while, I haven't watched him in a long time. I know Jimmy Kimmel is a huge leftist, but I thought Jimmy Fallon was trying to be a little more balanced, but I haven't watched his show in so long.
I haven't watched.
So I have no idea.
Either one of those. I just know they are hardcore leftist, and I've seen the clips that they used to do against Donald Trump, and I'm just not interested.
And that was a great thing about Carson. You didn't know where he stood politically.
No. And those were the best comedians, you know. Yeah. You're like, well, I'm sure he has a point of view. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he votes for one political party, or maybe he votes for both. I'm sure he has opinions, political opinions.
But it wouldn't infiltrate.
You didn't know it, though.
And I tell you, one person that was able to do that successfully, and it was one of his biggest routines, was George Carlin, when he did the things that you can say on TV. And a lot of his routines were political, and you would think that they were kind of left-leaning, but it didn't offend you like it would today, you know?
No, it was just funny. Yeah, the seven dirty words, or the seven sinful words, or
seven words you can't say on TV. I think
there's a couple you can say now.
I think, probably.
I think times have changed. You know, surprised me. And maybe he's gotten to the point where he doesn't care either. Is I was shocked when I saw that Kevin Costner was doing a docuseries on Yellowstone, and Fox Nation was running it, that he was producing it for Fox. I was like, ooh, Kevin Costner is really, he's kind of, I mean, you kind of put a gauntlet down when you go on Fox and do something like that. And I don't know if Kevin Costner is a conservative, or I guess I just thought he was a Hollywood liberal, but I thought it was pretty cool that he wanted to do this 4 or 5 part series where he goes into Yellowstone. I think my dad saw some of it. He's like, he goes into Yellowstone, and he's riding around a horse, and he's doing all this footage, like in different, he does all 4 seasons in Yellowstone. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be pretty cool.
You know, the cynical person in me says this. Kevin Costner is a liberal. He has made no qualms about that. But I think he agreed to do this Yellowstone documentary thing on Fox is because I think the show Yellowstone, that's a Fox viewer type of show, conservative show. I mean, we're just watching it. I watched like the first 3 episodes of it, but I see now that Kevin Costner is like the governor of Wyoming, and I seen a clip where he ripped some guy a new one because it was over some environmental crap, and he was like, yeah, that's definitely a conservative governor. So maybe he just thinks the Fox audience translates better to his show, and so I'd do a show for them. These are my people anyway.
Yeah, I would say that, but remember, Yellowstone's on like its 5th season already, so he did it kind of late. If he would have done that in the beginning, I would have said, he's trying to draw attention. But I just found it interesting that he was. It caught me by surprise. I was like, oh, it's not on CNN. Mm-hmm.
It surprised me too when I saw him doing it, because you know, he's at the stage now in his life where he doesn't care about the money. Exactly. Yeah. But I think he would be worried about the fellow liberals talking about, oh, you went on Fox, and worried about being ostracized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see that Jamie Dimon, CEO of JP Morgan, came out the other day and kind of threw cold water on Joe Biden, saying that this is the best economy ever and happy days are here again. Jamie Dimon was like, we're still heading towards a recession.
Jamie Dimon has been the person the loudest that's been saying we are near a Category 4 hurricane. We're in trouble. These signs look bad. And he's still doing that. I applaud him for that. And I didn't know still till a few months ago that Jamie Dimon is Greek.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I know Diamond is a name that does pop up in the Greek community. Didn't dawn on me.
Yeah, it was something that sounded really Greek, and they changed
shortened it to
Diamond. Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, I thought he was Jewish. Honestly,
He also he threw cold water on the whole crypto thing. So he said, on one hand, he said he's not necessarily pessimistic on blockchain or smart contract technology. But he said, as far as crypto goes, he says, I think it's a complete sideshow. Crypto tokens are like pet rocks.
It is. You know, Senator Elizabeth Warren, we don't agree with her much on this program. She's a socialist and wants to stop business. But she's got a crypto reform bill, Tim, that I think that I could agree with the stuff that she's reforming. She says, one, ensure broker-dealers and crypto exchanges comply with certain regulatory obligations like providing audited financial statements. I don't see what's wrong with that. Impose bank-like capital requirements so that they're able to withstand financial shocks. What's wrong with that? Barring the commingling of customer assets so a company can't use customer deposits to finance other investments. That sounds reasonable. And securing so customers are first in line to get their money back in case of a bankruptcy. And last, further expand tax reporting requirements beyond new rules that lawmakers enacted last year. That sounds, I mean, it's Elizabeth Warren, I know Pocahontas, but those regulations sound reasonable in terms of what's happened in the FTX crypto market.
Only because it's her, I don't trust it. You know, they always,
that's why I said it sounds reasonable.
They always call something something, and then you read the bill and it's something else, right? Maybe we get Grover Norquist in to talk to us about that and explain what's really going on there.
That's why I wrote it down, because I was like, man, this is reasonable.
Something just happened, All right, when we come back, the 6 o'clock hour, jam-packed with Byron Keelan from the Freedom Principle of Missouri on the legislative priorities for 2023, and Mike Ferguson, that morning show guy, next at 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.